heart and in your life. You know, that's what this thing's all about. You know, the Christian life's not lived by you. It's lived through you. And whatever it is it's got keeping God from working through you, it's not worth it. You know it? It's always something that just keeps the Lord from working in our lives, and it's sin, and sometimes it's just selfishness. But whatever it is, man, I'm telling y'all to let it go. I don't know what to do. I just feel like the Lord's moving in here this morning.
I have been helpless. I have been helpful. I have been useless. I have been used. I have been on the highest of mountains, and I have descended to a dark, lonely place. But He's been there through my good times and bad times. He's been there when I could not carry on. My Lord's been there when my heart had no words. A loving Father still heard, and I've never been alone, for He's been there. I do not know the things you are facing, the battles ahead, or the victories to win. But I can tell you, His love never faileth. Jesus,
amen,
is always.
Hey, He'll help you this morning. The Lord will help you this morning. He'll be there for you.
He's been there
through the good times and the bad.
Glory
to God.
Hallelujah.
Ain't He always been there for you? Yes, He has. Amen.
When I could not carry on, my Lord's been there.
Glory to God.
When my heart had no words, a loving Father still heard, and I've never been alone, for He's been there. And I've never been alone, for He's been there.
Amen. He'll be there for you this morning. He'll be there for you this morning if you'll let Him. Can you do that second verse again?
I do not
know. God's speaking to your heart this morning. I don't know what you're
facing,
but He does. And He'll help you. But you got to let Him. You got to surrender to Him. You'll surrender to Him. Don't hold back. Amen.
But I can tell you, His love never faileth.
Whatever you're facing this morning,
Jesus is always.
He's facing a hard battle. That girl over there is facing a hard battle. Say it now.
But He's been there through my good times and bad times. He's been there.
Well, glory.
When I could not carry on, my Lord's been there.
Yes, He has.
When my heart had no word,
amen,
a loving Father still heard, and I've never been alone, for He's been there.
Yes, amen. Thank God. He's there. He's been there. He will be there. What a blessing. What a blessing to know this morning that He's been there and He'll be there. You don't have to worry about Him going nowhere. I remember one time my girls was real little. It snowed. Snowed like we had it this week. And you know, it's fun with them when they're about 3 or 4 years old. The first snow that they really, really, you know, comprehend. I'm sure all y'all that had kids this week, they loved They love that snow. And then from then on, buddy, it's every year. Daddy, when's it going to snow? When's it going to snow? And I said, it's going to snow, y'all. And it snowed. And we went out and played in it that night. And the next morning, the girl woke up. I think it was Krissa. She's about 4 years old. She looked out the window and said, "They're still here." Amen? It's still here. And I, you know, when she said that, I'll never forget her saying that. And I thought, you know, that's the way the Lord is. Sometimes we think because we're in trouble that He's gone. But when you come through at night, you come through that, He's still there. He's still there and He'll be there. They told me we was out here sweeping Wednesday night. I don't know if it done any good or not. And we swept about an hour. I was soaking wet with sweat in that snowstorm. And one of the guys made a comment. They said, "There's no two snowflakes alike." I said, "Who said? How do they know that? There's no way in the world you can know that without checking them all. And they're done melted and you can't do that. Surely there's billions and billions and billions of them. Surely you would think, wouldn't you? Sooner or later there'd be one like it was 800 years ago. But I don't know. Maybe they ain't. The Lord's sure got a big imagination, don't He? Amen. In Sunday school class back there, the kids said, "What about identical twins?" I said, "They're not exactly alike. Ain't they got different fingerprints? Is that right? If they don't, boy, you could sure get away with some stuff. But blame it on your brother." But no, there's no two human beings exactly alike. That's God and His great power. And He's always been there and always will. Let's open the Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 26. Psalm 26. And I want to read some scripture here this morning that I hope will be a blessing to you. Psalm 26 this morning. And I want to talk about what you've heard all week long. This right here. Your heart. Your heart. What does the Bible say about your heart? Let's look at Psalm 26 this morning. And if you would please, look at verses 1 and 2. "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." Why did not David say, "Try my mind"? That's all the emphasis is nowadays, the mind, your education, your brain. David didn't say, "Work on my mind, Lord." He said, "Work on my heart." You know this, your heart right here, that's the key to living the Christian life, people. You ever heard anybody say, "He's got his heart in it"? That's totally separate from your mind. Completely separate. Now, the heart in the Bible don't always refer to that little organ in here that pumps blood. But there's more to it than you might think. The Bible says your heart for a reason. Let's see what the Bible says and get a heart exam. Let's get a heart exam. Everybody, you know, you go get one of them CAT scans and you get a heart exam. And they done all kinds of things on Jeremy the other day down in the hospital. And they talked about this test and that test they was running. And let's do this. 77 times in the Bible, the word heart is found. 31 are good, 46 are bad. Because your heart by itself naturally wants to go the wrong way. The organ heart in your body, listen to this, they say, beats 75 times a minute average. Mine's a lot lower than that until I run or something. You know, I get up sometimes, check mine, 65, 67, 68 in the morning. Then I go run, come back, it's 80. So average, they say, is 75 times. Think about that. Your heart beats, boom, 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 boom. 75 times per minute. You know how many times that is a year? 40 million. 40 million a year, and if you live to be 70 years old, 2.5 billion times. Your heart pumps 3,000 gallons of blood a day through your body. That's a lot. Like pump 3,000 gallons of gas, pump 3,000 gallons of oil. It pumps 3,000 gallons. You have a gallon jug. You can fill this whole choir up here with jugs of blood. Your heart pumps through your body every single day. Your heart does enough work in 1 hour to lift a 150-pound man, me, to the top of a 3-story building. Your heart does enough work in 1 hour to lift me up to the top of a 3-story building. That little heart inside you. And it works all the time. What's the difference between your heart and your mind? Here's the difference. I'm sitting in school. And I'm sitting there, I like to sit beside the window when I was in the 8th grade because I could look out and see the ball field, see the kids playing. And when the teacher would look at me, I'd look at her. When she looked down, I'd look out the window. When I'd seen her look at me, I'd look at her. And say, Danny, yes ma'am. Like that, you know. And I remember, Danny, what's 6 plus 6? 12? Danny, yes ma'am. What's 12 plus 12? 24? That's my mind. Danny, what's 100 plus 100? 200? That's my mind. As soon as she looks down, that's my heart. My heart was out there on the ball field playing ball. My mind, that's the difference between your heart and your mind. All the emphasis nowadays is being put on your brain and your education and all that, but the Bible puts emphasis on your heart. You know why? Because the heart, that's you. That's really you. They call it the seat of your emotions. They call it, it's the real you, the real person. People are made by what's in their heart. Now, I'm just going to name these off right quick. In the Bible, there are 10 different kinds of hearts. I'm going to give you an examination this morning, and you decide how many of these you have. You may have all 10 of them. You may have 3 out of 10. You may have 7 out of 10. I want you to examine your heart in the light of what the Bible, the infallible authority of God Almighty, says about the human heart. This will work for Einstein. This will work for every movie star. This will work for every athlete. This will work for every person at the Olympics over in Sochi or wherever that place is. This will work for everybody in Russia and China and Japan, every Muslim, every Buddhist. There's 10 things that describe your heart. Number one, the Bible talks about a merry heart. Not the mind, a merry heart. The Bible said in Proverbs 17:22 that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now that is the truth. Just like medicine helps you to get better, a merry heart will help you to get better. You got to watch out. You know what you don't see in a place where you go visit people that have mental problems? They don't. None of them laugh. Unless it's that weird laugh. Like that. That don't count. That ain't a merry laugh. That's demonic. But these people that are in, I'm not trying to be critical, but people that are depressed and people that take all kind of medicines all the time and everything, you know what the problem, a lot of the problem is? They're never happy. And they never laugh. Don't ever get to the place where you've got so much stuff and so much responsibility that you can't just laugh and cut up. The Bible talks about a merry heart. You know, I cut up at church. I'm serious, but I cut up at church. We laugh here and have a good time. You know what I've done before? I went somewhere and preached and told a bunch of crazy stuff, and I preached the gospel and humor. What humor does in a sermon is it gets your attention. And then you open your heart, and then the truth stabs them. That's what every speaker in Hollywood knows that. The way you sometimes open people's hearts and minds is through humor. And you tell something funny, people get their life, and then you stab them with the truth. And, you know, I've been somewhere and preached, and people went out and said, you know what, preacher? I was about to die when I got in here tonight, and I feel 100% better. Just like a trip to the doctor. The Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. There's one of the girls come in there back here. I don't know if them girls in here or not. Where are them girls? They sitting over yonder? Y'all girls come in there talking that junk in Sunday school? Yeah, that's you. With a sweatshirt on. Raise your hand over there. That girl right there. And they come in there laughing. And I said, did y'all get any snow? And she said, yeah, we got a hole in our roof. And it snowed in there. And then one thing led to another. She's just kidding. She just snowed in there and said, we made a snowman in the house. And we laughed. So I got started thinking. I said, yeah, you're the only people in the world that can go sledding in your own house down the steps. But you know what? It's good to laugh. It's good. If you got a whole room, there ain't no use crying about it. Just like, build your snowman. Like you're rich, you can do that. But you know what you got to do? You got to learn to laugh at yourself. You got to learn to laugh at your young brother. Sometimes just take a. You ever notice these people cannot take a joke? They take themselves too seriously. I know these people say if you joke about them or their occupation, they get really mad. Listen, there's preacher jokes by the thousands, and they're funny. They really are. I laugh at them. And I mean, you ain't so important that you shouldn't laugh once in a while. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I mean, if you can't do nothing but just look at yourself in the mirror and laugh. Amen. If you can't, some man the other day said, "Boy, my wife, she ain't what she used to." Well, listen, son, you ain't Brad Pitt, you know. I mean, look at yourself. Lord, you look like a tick, some of you. And you know what? Listen, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. I like what that old man said one time. He said this, they told that man, he said, "Well, I got joy in my heart." And some old guy said, you crazy Christians, all that heart is an organ in your body. And the old man looked back at him and he said, "That old heart in there might be an organ, but every time it hears the name of Jesus, it plays Amazing Grace." And just kept on shouting going down the road. That's right, brother. Don't you get so educated that you think your heart's just an organ. It's a whole lot more than just something in there pumping blood. By the way, the Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood, and your heart pumps blood. That's where your life is, right there in that heart. You can live without a lot of things, but you can't live without your heart. And so you don't want to have anything but a merry heart. Number two, there's a second kind of heart in the Bible. It's a foolish heart. The Bible talks about in Romans 1 and verse 21, their foolish heart was darkened. Now that's a sad picture. You know Romans chapter 1. You understand what it's talking about. And brother, there were people in the Old Testament that got away from God. And the Bible says that their foolish heart was darkened. That's a mistake. They got into sin. A heart that gives God, goes out on God and goes out on a limb and goes out on Saturday night and meets friends and gets drunk and has parties and gets high and takes pills and skips school and runs around town and don't tell their parents and live that. You know what that is? It's a foolish heart. Foolish heart. Because payday is coming down the road somewhere. You can't get out here and party and live it up and do wrong and mess around and get into adulterous situations and party lifestyle and be in a bunch of people raising Cain and living wrong and the party not. And you know what you've got? A foolish heart, according to the Bible. That's a foolish heart. The Bible said their foolish heart was darkened. Amen. I'll tell you what, you're getting in trouble if you have that. Number three. There's a third heart in the Bible. It's a deceitful heart. The Bible talks about a deceitful heart. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. It's sneaky. Down to Tara, bro. It's sneaky. It's tricky. And it's desperately wicked. And you don't know it. You don't know it. People say, "Well, if I know my heart," you don't even know your own heart. Your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. You can't put nothing past a human being that's not right with God. You're capable of committing any sin in the book unless your heart is right with God. Yeah, you don't say, "I'd never do that." The worst thing you can say is, "I'll never do this or never do that." That old heart inside you, be careful how you judge people that fall into sin. It might be you next. You better watch your mouth. It might be happening to you or somebody you love next time. And the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's what I'm talking about right there. Sometimes your heart is very deceitful. It's sneaky. You think you're so smart because you can trick others. You think, "I'm smart. I can outsmart that person. I can outsmart that person. I can outsmart that person. I can get by in life by tricking and deceiving people." And the whole time, the devil's tricking you and deceiving you, and you don't even know it. That's why the Bible said deceiving and being deceived. You know these crooks out here that are making money off people by shady deals? You think you're smarter because you're tricking them, but the devil's tricking you, and you're going to wind up in trouble. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. Amen? This heart sits and plots. How can I steal something? How can I have that? You know, there's people all the time on the TV on these. Man, I don't know where all these people live, but you see these people now on killer women and stuff like that, and all they do is sit around and plot how they're going to have their husband killed. Come on, ladies. Man, good night. I mean, one lady, she'd been married 2 or 3 times, and every one of her husbands died mysteriously for the same reason. You know, poisoned or something. I mean, Lord have mercy. And then you got old, what's his name, old that Peterson guy, not Scott Peterson, yeah, Drew Peterson, that had 2 or 3 wives, all die mysteriously. I mean, that's a deceitful heart, buddy. That's a deceitful heart. They had to sit around and think. They had to sit around and think, Lord, help me. How am I going to get? Now, most people have prayed for their husband to die at one time or another, or wife. A lot of people have. You might be surprised. But surely you can get a hold of yourself before you... It's a deceitful heart. It's a deceitful heart. They teach evolution. They teach dinosaurs. We're way millions of years ago, and man just showed up recently. Stupid stuff like that. Amen? They teach scams and lies. Politicians has a deceitful heart. Politicians, a lot of them have extremely deceitful hearts. Just lie on top of lie on top of lie on top of lie. Now listen, when they're trying to get elected, they'll say anything. That's a deceitful heart. That's a deceitful heart, ladies and gentlemen. Number 4, let's name these right quickly. There's a stony heart. You know, in the Bible, there's a stony heart. It's also a hard heart. Hard-hearted. You ever heard anybody say, that person is so cold, hard-hearted? There's a reason for that. It's because of the way they were raised. It's because something happened to them when they were young. Or it's because of sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. Let me tell you something. If you keep sinning the same sin, and God keeps talking to you about it, and talking to you about it, and you keep on and on, your heart will get so hard where you don't even think it's wrong no more. Your heart will get so hard, you don't even feel guilty. There's people that kill people and don't even feel guilty about it. You know why? The heart becomes hard like a rock. If you can go a year and never even cry about nothing, you got a hard heart. Sometimes during church, you say, oh my goodness. One lady told me one time, she said, every time I visit your church, I cry. I said, you know what that is? That's the Lord getting it. She's a good Christian lady. She goes to another church down in Hickory. She said, every time I come here, I cry. That singing, just, that's good to have a heart. So other people say, oh, they just boo-hoo all the time. There ain't nothing wrong with that. I'd rather boo-hoo up than be so hard and stone cold. I can see people getting saved and talk about heaven and hell, and it never even fazed me. You're in trouble if your heart's that hard. You know what you better do? God, break my stony heart. God, soften up my hard heart. God, make it soft again. God, let me cry. Let you work with somebody going to hell and it don't even bother us. Sometimes our heart gets hard. It's hard. Amen. You've seen these people that they got in solitary confinement in their serial killers and stuff, and people go down there and talk to them about the Lord and everything. They just sit there and look at them like an animal and grin at them. Their heart has become so hard. Beware. I know life is hard, and we get knocked around, and if you ain't careful, you start getting a hard heart because you don't want to have to get hurt again. A lot of people that have been betrayed, got maybe somebody betrayed them, their mate or something. Your biggest danger is you build up a defense around your heart so it won't happen to you again, and you get so people say, I ain't never nobody going to hurt me like that again. I'll make sure it's never going to hurt me like that. And you just harden your heart. And that's dangerous because you harden it to everything. Get your heart soft. You say, I don't want it hurt again. You're better off to have a soft heart and get it broke once in a while than to harden it where you can't have no feeling for nobody. Number 5. In the Bible, there's an obstinate heart. Obstinate. What does obstinate mean? See if this is you. Stubborn, rebellious, and never want to do what you're told. Deuteronomy 2 and verse 30, he said they made their heart obstinate. An obstinate heart is somebody, if you tell them to sit down, they want to stand up. If you tell them to stand up, they want to sit down. A lot of teenagers get like that, just stubborn, rebellious. Amen? That's what breaks marriages up. That's what breaks homes up. Just, you're not going to tell me what. You're not going to tell me. You can jump in the lake. I'll find me somebody that likes me. And you probably can find somebody that likes you. until they get to know you, and then they're ready to fight. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. An obstinate heart is a stubborn, rebellious heart. You will not submit to the authority of your parents. You ignore the advice of your pastor and your teachers. And the next thing you know, you're getting... You know what somebody said one time? The loneliest place in the world is a human heart where there's no love. The loneliest place in the world is a human heart where there's no love. It don't matter what you've got. Houses, cars, stuff, boats, campers, build a cabin in the mountains, a place at the beach. It don't matter what you've got. Your heart is lonely if the Lord's not there and you're not trying to help somebody else. You know how to really feel happy and be rich? Is get a heart for other people and try to do something for them. Go on bus route once in a while. Visit somebody. Talk to somebody about the Lord. You get a blessing from that nothing else can give you. Number six. You listening? There's a proud heart. Bible said in Proverbs 16:5, a proud heart. It's like this little boy. His daddy said, sit down. He said, no, sit down. He said, no. He said, I said, sit down. And the little boy goes. And his daddy said, now you're sitting down, ain't you? He said, I'm sitting down on the outside. I'm standing up on the inside. Now that's your heart right there. That's a proud, stubborn heart. How many of you have seen your kids do that? I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm hitting you in the nose on the inside. Now that's the way a lot of Christians are. A lot of you Christians here, you're sitting down on the outside, but inside, you're out there getting drunk and chasing the opposite sex and smoking dope and everything else. Now, there's your problem. It's your heart, brother. It's your heart. Religion's no good if your heart ain't in it. Church is no good if your heart's not in it. You know what? My heart is in this preaching. My heart is in church. My heart's with the Lord. It don't always stay like it should, and I have to work at it. I have to pray about it. I have to keep my heart in the right place. And when my heart gets out of place, the Lord slaps me upside the head and gets it back in the right place. Get your heart in the right place. Get your heart in your family. Get your heart in your marriage. Get your heart in raising your children. Get your heart into it. It don't do any good. There's not a woman in here that wants your husband to say, well, I love you, I'm going to work. Get up next morning, I love you, I'm going to work. Everyone, I love you, I'm going to work. I love you, I'm going to work. I love you. You say, shut up! Why? You say, because you don't mean it. You want him to mean it. You want his heart to be in it. You don't ever tell me you love me. I love you. You didn't mean it. See? Your heart. You want his heart to be in it. You want him to love you in his heart. And that's the way the Lord wants. You shouldn't get up and say, it's Sunday. I got to go to church. See, you're going to church on the inside, but you're laying at home on the outside. That's a sad shape to get in. A proud heart. A proud heart. What's a proud heart? The red carpet at the Grammys. Here I come. They walk like this, them women. That's a proud heart right there. Son, if you smelt her breath in the morning, it'd knock you down. She took that makeup and that false hair off and everything, you wouldn't know her. Amen? I mean, there's some pretty women and some good-looking guys and all that, but that's nothing to be proud of. Whatever you got, God gave it to you. If you got good looks, it was the Lord gave it to you. You didn't get it yourself. If you've got fame and fortune, God gave you everything you got. You ain't got nothing to be proud of. You ain't no better than nobody else. Number seven, there's a wicked heart. Do you know that? Wicked heart. The Bible said, out of the heart proceedeth wicked thought, adultery, murder, fornication, thefts, robberies, stuff like that. A wicked heart. Out of the heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. The Bible said in Mark 7:21, all these evil things come from within. They're fussing about the disciples not washing their hands one time before they eat. And the Lord said, listen, that germ going in you, that ain't what defiles your heart. It's what comes out of you. Amen? I've heard people say, oh, about cussed. Well, if it's right there, I mean, don't do it, but you might as well come on out. It's already in your heart. It's already in your heart. Get your heart clean. Let the Lord take your cusser out. Quit watching filthy stuff and clean yourself up with the Bible, and you won't have to say, "Oh, I can't cuss in front of them. I can't cuss in front of them. I just cuss over here. Just cuss over here." That's dirty stuff in your heart that makes you do that. Amen. Man visited these guys in prison one time, and you got to listen to what these smart old time preachers say, because some of them got wisdom that you can't get nowhere else in this world. I got stuff wrote down that there's no way in the world you could get it with a secular education. And he said this. He visited men in prison. And he said, behind every ruined life is a long process of wicked thinking. Y'all listen to what I said? Behind every ruined life is a long process of wicked thinking. You sit around and think about stuff that you ain't supposed to, and think wrong, and think wrong, and think wrong, and think wrong. And I'm going to tell you teenagers, I'm going to tell you wives, I'm going to tell you husbands, if you sit around and think wrong long enough, you're going to do wrong. You ain't in church one day serving God and right and out doing sin the next day. That ain't the way it happened. You think wrong for a month or 2 months. First thing you know, you think about it, you wind up doing it. That's why you got to guard your heart, people. And then, number eight, in the Bible there's a broken heart. I'm telling you, the worst pain you can feel in this world is have your heart broke. One lady told me, she said, "I've had a bunch of boyfriends and everything, and I've broke up with all of them. Nobody's ever broke up with me." I said, "That's exactly what you need. If you ain't never had your heart broke, I dread it for you when it happens, because, buddy, there ain't no pain. I've had my heart broke before, and I'd rather have a broke arm or broke leg any day of the week, because there's no cure for it. There ain't no medicine that can heal a broken heart. All them songs, them country songs, half of them old slow, soft rock songs, where do broken hearts go and my heart is broken? I mean, they made millions of dollars off that stuff, because, brother, there ain't no cure known to mankind for a broken heart except the Lord and time. The Lord and time. The Lord and time." I have people call me all the time. My wife left me. My husband left me. "Brother Danny, it hurts. What can I do?" I say, turn to the Lord. You'll either turn to the Lord, drugs, or another person. The Lord, drugs, or another person. Turn to the Lord if you've got a broken heart. A lot of people are scared to death to commit to anybody or anything because they've had their heart broke. I know people right now said, "I ain't never going to get involved in church again, because I went one time and it all blew and it hurt me so bad I just made up my mind." Now that ain't the way to be. I've had my heart broke a bunch of times in church by church people. Matter of fact, they ain't no sinners, never hurt me. It's always Christians. You just got to learn to just tough it out and serve God and don't blame Him for it. If you got a broken heart this morning, tough it out. Pray, do right, and God will use you to help somebody else with a broken heart, like I'm helping you today. Number nine, there's a humble heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, "My people, which call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land." You know why America's in trouble today? We refuse to do that. He giveth grace to the humble. One man said this. He said, "Well, I think you ought to kneel down in prayer." That's good. I think that's good. But it's not the posture of the body that makes your prayers heard. It's the attitude of your heart. So I know these people in the hospital today laying there like that, and God's hearing their prayers, and there's people all over the world going, and God ain't even looking at them. It's not the posture of the body. It's the attitude of the heart. I believe in kneeling before God. I believe in raising our hands. I believe in bowing our heads in respect and honor to God. But brother, if your heart said that one time is a revival, this really happened. Some old preacher went to revival, and he's an old man of God, big downtown fancy church, and the pastor said, "Deacon so-and-so, lead us in prayer before the preacher." And that old deacon stood up and he said, "Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this another Sabbath day," which, you know, that's what the old Baptist prayer. "And all of these people, now may Thy blessings be upon us." You know, went through that, prayed the same thing all the time. And that old preacher got up, and he pointed down at that guy, and he said, "Your heart's cold as a block of ice. Open your Bible, please, to so-and-so." Right in front of everybody. He rebuked that man. And it's the truth. You know it's the truth. There's churches everywhere in this country where people go through religious motions and say, quote, verses and our Father and all that, and their heart's on the golf course. Where's your heart this morning? Where's your heart? Where is your heart, buddy? Where's your heart? I'm going to say lastly this morning is a willing heart. Exodus 35 and 5. Who's willing to do what you can? Willing to come to the Lord. The Bible said this to get saved. Whosoever will. A willing heart. You know all you got to be for God to bless you? Willing. You got to have a willing heart. Now look, I ain't the most talented person in the world. I ain't the smartest person in the world. I ain't the best preacher in the world. All that. But I try to keep my heart willing. I prayed this week and I said, God, whatever you want in my life, that'll be fine with me. I've lived long enough to know that when I do it, it always turns out wrong. You say, I'm scared to pray like that, brother. Don't be scared. You think God don't know better than you do? Say, Lord, whatever you want in my life, bring it on. If it's right and you're going to bless me for it, it might be a relationship, it might be a business deal, it might be a job, it might be your future, it might be college, it might be marriage, it might be just, Lord, whatever you want, do it. You say, I'm scared to do that because deep down inside you know what He wants and you don't want to let go of something. You're just making yourself miserable. God ain't going to make you miserable, man. He wants you to have a willing heart. I'm going to tell you this story and I'm done. Years ago, it was Valentine's Day, and the family sat down to eat. The daddy is sitting at the head of the table, and he said, where's so-and-so? A little girl about that high come and sat down at the table. And she goes, he said, honey, what's wrong with you? And she, he said, what is wrong with you? And she said, no. And finally said, now look, you sit down here and tell us what's wrong. And the little girl sat on that lap. She said, I made you a Valentine and I messed it up. And I can't give it to you because I ruined it. And all that. He said, no, 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 go get it. And she said, no, it looks awful. Looks, it's ugly and I messed it up. And she had made him try to cut him a Valentine and cut out a piece of paper and she cut her finger with a scissors and got blood on it and it was crooked and she just blew it up under her bed. He said, go get it, honey. I want it. She said, no, Daddy, I ruined it. He said, go get it. So she went in there and got it out from under the bed. You know, and dug it out, and it was all cut crooked and had blood on it. Here, I'm ashamed. And he looked at that, and he said, oh, I love that. You did that for me? How sweet. You know what? He didn't care what it looked like. He just appreciated that she wanted to do that for him and give it to him. Are you listening? You know what the Lord, a lot of times you sit back there and you say, man, Lord, don't want my heart. I messed it. I'm the sorriest good for nothing thing in the world. I've done messed up so much. God don't want me. And the Lord's saying, just give it to me. Just give it to me. I want it just like it is. You know how God wants you this morning, y'all? He wants you just like you are. You can't be good by yourself. Just give it to Him. Just like it is this morning. He wants a willing heart. Come on, y'all. Let's stand and pray. Ever had